I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-378-3508. 800-378-3508. That's 800-378-3508. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Sports Overnight America, a different kind of show. We're heard everywhere. Sirius 217, XM 203, all those apps, Sports Byline, Sports Map, American Forces Radio, and gals and guys, you stay healthy. Radio stations like KSHP 1400 in Las Vegas. Mark Mancini, the world's worst sports handicapper, is off tonight, but my cousin Andy Barron joins us, and he's a trivia expert, so we'll see what goes on with that. And of course, Art Source, former kicker for the Rams and the Trojans, as usual, with this late night like this, and at 126 years of age. And from Golf Today, the editor, Matt Ward, with us, and we're going to talk about golf in 2023. So there's so much to talk about, but let's start with the ups and downs of sports in 2023. And to me, and you might disagree, more down than up. SportsFred@AOL.com, SportsFred@AOL.com. The number one issue with me, of course, is the NCAA 4 years ago and the transfer portal and the NIL. And you've got guys now playing three and four different schools because they're not happy with the first two or three, whatever the case might be. To me, it's nonsensical. It's impossible for the fan to feel the same loyalty to a kid who's jumped two or three times. I'm sorry, it's just not working out. And you've got somebody in Fred who's always fought for the kids. The NCAA should have paid them $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a year, but the NCAA 4 years ago, Mark Emmer, too cheap to do so. That's why he got canned. And he came up with this NIL idea. So a player can be bought off for more money at one school versus another. Listen, if a coach leaves, the kid should have the right to leave. If a parent's sick, the kid should have the right to go home, be near his parent, and play at that school. No question about that. I've always fought for that. But what the NCAA has done, in my mind, has wrecked the collegiate game. And now we've got the Final Four coming up on Monday, and it doesn't quite as mean as much to me as it used to. I'm sorry. It's just the way it is. Elsewhere is a downer, MLB and the baseball playoffs. The best two teams in baseball last year were the following: the Atlanta Braves and the LA Dodgers. But what happened is, once they clinched it 2 or 3 days before the end of the season, they stopped playing their starters all the time. Then they had like a 5-day wait until their part of the playoffs began, and they both lost in their first round. It's not the way it should be. So listen, congratulations to Texas. Congratulations to Corey Seager. But the Texas Rangers were not the best team in baseball. The best team in baseball, again, were the Braves and the Dodgers, but the way Rob Manfred has set it up, it's all screwy, and it's beyond belief, and it's just not fair to the sports fan. As simple as that. But I'll tell you what, the positive just happened this week to me, a major positive. USC found a quarterback. 6 touchdown passes. Miller Moss. Who needs Kalev? Back with more on Sports Overnight America right after this.
This year, Staples wants everyone to have a happy holla deal. That's right, holla deal. Staples holla deals are amazing savings on hot holiday tech. Great prices on laptops, game systems, earbuds, and more. And now at Staples, you can save up to $350 on select PCs. During Staples holla deals, it's not about the fa-la-la. It's about saving moolala. Save up to $350 on select PCs today at Staples. Ends 12/23. In-store only. See associate for details.
Wendy's Peppermint Frosty and Frosty Cream Cold Brew make the perfect gift for anyone in your life, especially for you. Yeah, this year you're sitting on your own lap and getting yourself what you want, finally. And now every day this season, unlock 20% off your total when you get any small, medium, or large Frosty in the Wendy's app. So order something from your own wish list this year.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's with app offer and registration. Applies to menu items only. Taxes and fees excluded.
People who come to Cricut stay with Cricut, just like our customer Jaren.
I'm the singer and guitarist in a band, and I use my Cricut phone for everything. It's basically like another band member.
Don't miss a single beat. Switch today and get a free Samsung Galaxy A14 5G. Smile. You're on Cricut.
Real customer paid for testimonial. Must bring your number to Cricut on up to a $60 a month voice plan, depending on device. Select models only while supplies last. First month service charge and tax due at sale. Cricut 5G requires a compatible device and is not available everywhere. Fees, terms, and restrictions apply. See store for details.
Are you looking to improve your baseball swing? You need the Rip Grip Pro. Co-created by Dodgers AAA star Drew Avens, the Rip Grip Pro will help you stay palm up, palm down, and pull the barrel of the bat through the zone instead of pushing it. Check out Drew's videos at ripgrippro.com, and you'll see how this can help you or the baseball player in your family improve your ABs. Get the adjustability in your swing that you need. Go to ripgrippro.com. That's ripgrippro.com.
This is Ron Barr. Be sure to check out Sports Byline and the 8 Side Network's outstanding 8-part podcast series, Behind the Barrier, Voices from the Negro Leagues. Hear Willie Mays, Hank Aaron, and others share their stories of the Negro Leagues, the challenges that the players face, and the importance of Negro League baseball to the game's history. Behind the Barrier is available now on the iHeart Podcast Network and all podcast platforms, including Apple, Amazon, Spotify, Stitcher, and Pandora. Check out Behind the Barrier.
Hey, welcome back, Sports Overnight America. Mark Mancini, the world's worst sports handicapper, is off. But we've got my cousin Andy Barron, the trivia expert. He's proven that many times on this show. And, of course, Art Source from Galaxy Sports in Pennsylvania with us. And so much to talk about. Agree or disagree, email us, sportsfred@aol.com. Later, Matt Ward of Golf Today will discuss the mess that's going on right now between LIV and the PGA and a whole lot more. That's straight away right here on Sports Overnight America. But first, I open the show talking about the upside and the downside of sports. More downside than upside. Andy Barron, agree or disagree as far as that is concerned in 2023?
You have to agree, right? It's been kind of an off year. Interestingly, you talked about the Dodgers. I think what's most interesting is the Dodgers didn't win. So what did they do? They went out and spent more money on two players than most teams have spent on their entire team, hoping that that's the solution so that they don't find themselves in the same situation again. They've become the Yankees. It is what it is.
You know, I've been listening a lot to WFAN in New York, and they were sure the Yamamoto was going to the Yankees or the Mets. And all of a sudden, the Dodgers just popped up. And as far as Ohtani was concerned, the Dodgers were in the hunt, but really they thought it was New York. So, Artie, you're in Pennsylvania. You're close to New York, obviously. What's going on with the Mets and the Yankees as far as that is concerned?
It starts with a D and ends with an N. It's called dysfunction at the top and at the bottom of both those franchises. And, you know, I could tell you the Yankees have won 27 world championships, but since the early 2000s, they haven't really done diddly. Now, when you look at the Mets had some great managers in there. Now, if you think Buck Showalter was the problem with that team, it wasn't. The problem with that team was you can't go out and just spend money and then hopefully these guys all come together. You need something else in sports, which is called camaraderie, a clubhouse where guys get along and pull for each other. The reason the Dodgers made the big moves that they could was because I think they came up with a novel way to pay Shohei Ohtani the big money. When they deferred, you know, the $680 million, which I'm not sure Rob Manfred was either aware of, I think, you know, the Dodger hierarchy, they actually were hoping to bring that up, and then Ohtani's people brought it up, and they went, oh, my God, this is fantastic. So they got a chance to get Ohtani. Then here comes the battleship named Yoshi Yamamoto. He's ready to pitch. He's a 5'10 guy. He's had a great record in the Japan leagues. He looks around and says, hey, I got a teammate, the media. I can get my message out to the Japanese media because they're going to be following Shohei. Maybe I can have less input and less cameras on me because of Shohei. So that was my theory on that. But the big question is going to be, Fred, are they going to change the playoff system? Because the way it's set up right now, these three-game series, after playing 162-game, major league seasons, are just not right, in my opinion.
You become stale if you don't play for five or six or 7 days, and that's exactly what happened to the Braves and the Dodgers. Cousin Andy Barron, I have a question for you. You're a Red Sox fan. You're in Connecticut. Alex Verdugo, by way of the Dodgers, to the Red Sox, and now 4 years, and now to the Yankees, and I don't think he was happy in Boston. I don't think they were happy with him. Why? What happened?
I'm not sure the fans were happy with him. It's not the fans that the fans didn't like him. And it's just one more on a long line. I keep waiting for the day when the Red Sox land a big Yankees star, right? And in his prime, it hasn't happened. It doesn't seem like it's going to happen, but the list just keeps adding up, year after year of guys that do their time in Boston and end up with the Yankees. I'm not sure what happened. I'm not excited about
Boston newspapers talk about Justin Turner. Is he going to get a chance to come back? Because I thought he had a great year in Fenway last year, and I think he's a good component in that ball club.
You know what? I'm not sure. He had a great year in Boston, and you said it earlier. He's like, what he brings to the clubhouse is probably every bit as important as what he brings to the field, right? And he's a tough, tough guy to replace. I'd love to see him come back. But when you talk about dysfunction, I actually think that the Red Sox may be at the top of that list today. And I've said it before on the show. I think that they've just become complacent. They won their handful of World Series in a short period of time. They made their money, and now I think they're milking their product. And they don't feel it doesn't feel like this ownership group is hungry to win it any longer. And if that's the case, I feel like it may be time for a change over there.
All right, let me ask you guys a question. JD Martinez. He can't be the DH for the Dodgers because Otani can't pitch and can only be the DH. He's going somewhere. Andy, where's he going?
I'd love to see him back in Boston, but based on what I'm saying, said here, I don't see that happening either. I'm not sure where he's going. I mean, it's interesting now, right? Because his DH is all over the league. He can land anywhere. Especially a guy like him who, because he's played so much DH, he's not young. But he's not worn out, right? He's not playing in the field. He's getting up to bat four or five times a day and watching the game from the bench. He's a great addition wherever.
There are some guys still out there. You got Chapman, the third baseman from Toronto. You got Cody Bellinger. It's going to be very interesting to see what Boris does with Cody Bellinger. Because, I mean, Fred and I have watched this whole story transpire since he did the high five with the shoulder. And that shoulder never healed up for about 2 years, and everybody thought he was done. Look at the numbers, my God. Then he goes to Wrigley Field, sets the place on fire. They love the way he played outfield. He played first base. He could play multiple positions. He's a good clubhouse influence. I mean, there's another guy the Red Sox could look at.
Yeah, it's whether or not they're willing to pay, right? It comes down to he had a good year, which put his value back up probably where it belongs, in the grand scheme of things against other players. If they're not hungry to win, then they're not going to open up the checkbook. And if they're not going to checkbook, they're going to keep going with the same middle of the road team that they've had for the last couple of years.
Sports Overnight America. You can email us at sportsfred@aol.com. sportsfred@aol.com. All right. Final four, collegiate football. Andy Barron, your wife went to Michigan, so I imagine you think the Wolverines are going to win. I think Alabama's going to win. Make your case.
So, I have a theory. My theory is that the NCAA put Michigan at one and Alabama at four to give Michigan as tough a game as possible in the first round. I truly believe the NCAA wants Michigan to lose, because that solves their problem of what happens if they were to win the national title and then have to vacate, right? I think that they're truly looking for Michigan not to get there. My case is that, I think that Harbaugh is hungry because I think he wants to get out. I think he wants to win a national title before he does. McCarthy's a good quarterback. Corum, from where I sit, at least at the college level, I think is the best running back in the game. I don't know if that's going to translate to the next level or not. And their defense is strong. They take the ball away all, you know, quite a bit. So I think it's interesting, right? Because that's going to be a really hard nosed, tough game.
What about the speed of Alabama, Andy? Does that scare you at all?
It scares me because that's not what Michigan has really seen in the Big Ten, right? But against the Big Ten teams, Michigan seemed to be faster on defense than any of those offenses were. So we'll see. But what I was going to say is what's interesting about that game to me is that that's going to be so different than the other game where you have two teams that come from conferences that have never heard of the word defense, right? So you're going to have, you know, hard-nosed football on one side.
So you got the under in the Rose Bowl and maybe the over in the Texas-Washington Sugar Bowl.
It's going to be interesting. I kind of wish they had played it out a little differently where they had, you know, somehow found a way to try to get that marquee.
I wanted to get Washington to play Michigan to be the last Pac-12 Rose Bowl. That's a real true Pac-12 versus
right.
Big Ten.
But how do you move one of those teams down from one or two down to four to make that happen? Right.
I'm excited about the games, though.
Yeah, I am too. I think they're going to be both exciting for different reasons. And then either way, you're going to be pitting two very different teams against each other in the finals.
Yes.
Right. And that's going to be fun to watch for sure.
Art, let me ask you a question. I know it's exciting. Is it as exciting as it could be if the NCAA hasn't screwed around with NIL?
If they would have allowed the kids to do what you say, Fred, make $35,000 to $50,000 a year, maybe the superstars, the 3-4 kids on each team, make a couple hundred thousand, everybody's good. You know, the transfer portal, the dates need to be tightened up away from the bowl season, so these kids can actually play in the bowls and then go into the portal. That's a really stupid thing to do. Then you have first signing day in early December, which makes no sense at all. The coaches are trying to get teams ready for bowl games, and now half their teams are in the portal. You know, we joked about it last week. We talked about 1,350 kids being in the portal. There's only 11,000 division athletes from football. So, I mean, you have like 26% of the players this year came directly through the portal. 4 years ago, it was 5%. Are we even the freshmen being recruited or seniors in high school playing? I mean, that's my problem. What about the kids that play high school football that deserve a chance to go to school and get an education? You know, it used to be you got an academic athletic scholarship. It said it right on the paperwork.
The other thing I think that's interesting about this year is that there's at least two, if not maybe even three, large fan bases who feel like they got ripped off, right?
Georgia, Florida State.
Florida State, Georgia, even Ohio State has an argument maybe that they belong as to be one of the top four teams, right? Well, I think it's unfortunate that's happening this year, and sort of, you know, Florida State's always going to be the what if kind of team, even though I think based on circumstances they weren't probably going to win it. I think next year going to 12 is going too far the other way, right?
So they go from 4 to 12 instead of going to 8 teams.
How about 6 with 2 byes or something? You know, 6 or 8 is I think when you get to 9, I mean, it'd be funny next year when the number 13 team's complaining, right?
We only had 2 losses.
And you know what the problem is? It's not even about the fact that they have a chance to win. It gets back to money, right? Being number 13 versus being number 12 is going to have a giant monetary effect on the school.
For me, the worst thing is last year of the Conference of Champions.
Yes.
End of story. Back with more on Sports Overnight America.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently? And now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845. Can your IRA stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is at our doorsteps? By allocating a percentage of your IRA into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from turbulent markets and economic downturns by putting your IRA back on the gold standard. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Call now for your free gold and silver report. Protect your IRA today with one simple phone call and learn how to qualify for up to $10,000 in free silver. Call Genesis Gold Group, empowering faith-driven stewardship. 800-211-6008. 800-211-6008. 800-211-6008. That's 800-211-6008.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Sports Overnight America. Agree or disagree with us? You email us at sportsfred@aol.com. Sportsfred@aol.com. Later, Matt Ward of Golf Today will discuss what's going on in the world of golf. Right now, it's Barron Sports Trivia. Really started my cousin Lisa and Andy. We started playing a little trivia, so we decided to put it on the show. And Art Source, of course, 126 years of age. So for him to stay up late in the first place is tough, but to answer questions like this, even tougher. Artie, what are you taking this evening to stay up late and answer the questions correctly?
Well, Awaken is one of them. And then the other one is Focus Factor. And then there's the old standby, the expensive one, Prevagen. But my Pro Focus has really been the one. It's the nootropic that I feel like ties everything together, gets all the missiles firing inside the brain, and we'll see how that works out in about 2 minutes.
All right, Andy Barron. We call it Barron Sports Trivia. Let's test you. And, of course, without Mark being here, it's a little bit different, but we'll see what happens. Buddy Blattner was a second baseman for the St. Louis Cardinals for a period of years, and then he became the color commentator in the 50s, before Andy Barron was born, on the Game of the Week. And but he was a world champion in another sport, Andy Barron. What sport was Buddy Blattner a champion in, besides a fine second baseman for the St. Louis Cardinals?
I think I actually know this answer, because I think he's about the only one who's ever done this, right? And I'm not sure if it's him, but I believe there was a commentator in the 50s who was a ping pong player. I'm going to guess ping pong.
I'm going with you on this one. I'm going with you on this one. Back. Okay, the old Minnesota Twin.
So here's my thing here. Andy Barron is a trivia genius. He's won contests, but I didn't think he'd get this one. So I have to congratulate. I really have to congratulate you. But I want to ask you guys a question. I was brought up in Culver City, California. They had 9 parks. Sid Cronenthal set that up. It was the best place to grow up when I was growing up. And every park had a ping pong table inside. And I was a champion ping pong player at that park. And we'd go to the city finals, and I'd get some ribbons once in a while. I was a darn good ping pong player. But I may be the world's worst tennis player. So, Art, let me ask you first. Mm-hmm. Tennis and ping pong, I know there are different skills involved, but how can somebody be a really good ping pong player and a really rotten tennis player. Explain that.
I think hand speed. I think hand speed and hand-eye coordination, you need in both sports. The ping pong, the action you could put on a ping pong ball spin-wise, because I remember hitting the forehands and the top spins and all those shots. I think it really is marvelous for one's hand-eye coordination. I think you need a lot more physical stamina and ability to play five sets of tennis at a high level. I mean, it takes a lot out of you, and it is a very physical, grueling game. But that's the only difference I see.
I don't know, Fred, I'm the opposite of you. I played tennis through high school. I was on the high school tennis team, was a decent player, not good enough to play, you know, a level above that. And just a recreational ping pong player. To me, they're very different. One, I mean, just one is a far more physical game, you know, tennis being having to run and speed, you know, you can ping pong, you can basically reach the ball. From what's interesting to me, and I don't know if you guys have done this, is I'm hoping in the near future to try pickleball, which is sort of tennis on a ping pong table, from what
kind
I can tell,
right?
Yeah, exactly, right in between. It looks really interesting to me, and I think I'm gonna try to pick that up.
It's taken over the villages down in Florida. I'm hearing
fastest growing sport in America.
I've heard one of the networks, maybe ESPN, is going to do a national pickleball thing. You think
it was on a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, I actually watched a little bit of it.
Yeah, you think that'll sell? You think people
not really?
It's, you know what? It's the fastest growing sport in America. It depends how many people get into it, and you know whether or not it's going
to. They've marketed it to like more of a 50 plus segment, which, you know, there was only golf for a long time there. So I think it can be successful, but in terms of translating into eyes popping on TV, I don't think I see that being a big future for him.
All right, back to Barron Sports Trivia. Buddy Blattner, of course, was the color commentator in the 50s. In the 60s, he is replaced by somebody else who was also a former baseball player. Art Source, who replaced Buddy Blattner in the booth as a color commentator?
On the game of the week?
Game of the week.
I'm going to go with Pee Wee Reese.
Pee Wee, why would you say Pee Wee Reese?
Because I remember reading about Pee Wee Reese getting his job, and he really loved it. And I also think it was Jackie Robinson might have been in there for a little minute, too.
Andy Barron, is Pee Wee Reese correct to the Dodgers?
We're talking about St. Louis, right?
Well, who, Pee Wee was a Dodger?
No, game of the week.
The game of the week. You know,
again, you're younger. So,
I mean, the only name I can think of, and I don't even know if he was on the game of the week or not, but I know he was around then, was Harry Carey. I don't know if he translated to game of the week or was just local.
He slid into third.
Harry Carey was more of a play-by-play guy. Yeah. Dizzy Dean was the play-by-play guy in the game of the week. And yes, it was Pee Wee Reese. Congratulations to Prevagen and the rest, Art Source, that you take. Congratulations to that. All right. I have a question. Andy Barron, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Barron Sports Trivia. Who was the blow-by-blow or play-by-play guy on the Rockies? I think the first five or six Rockies. He was a TV personality and a radio personality, and I worked with him.
Great voice.
In Southern California. Who was the play-by-play guy on the Rocky movies?
Oh, the Rocky movies. You know, Rocky's my favorite movie of all time, and I can picture him and hear him, but I don't know his name.
Stu, you'll know his name.
What was his name?
Stu Nahan.
How did you know that?
Because I'm a Rocky nut, too. I mean, you know, I got to tell you a great story, you guys. I used to work out every once in a while at the Hollywood Athletic Club with Clay Matthews and Anthony Munoz. And this little guy was about 5'7". He'd be running around. Hey, can I get in on some sets with you guys? And he was like 5'7". He was the coolest dude. Always, you know, doing with the nose and the thumbs and the whole shot. And we're watching before the UCLA game my senior year, and the movie Rocky comes out, and Anthony Munoz in the middle of the theater stands up, Ernie, there's that guy we saw working out when we were at the Hollywood Athletic Club. He's a star now. I said, he looks a lot bigger on the silver screen.
I'll be honest, I never knew his name. I was never going to get this one right, Fred. I never knew his name.
Let me tell you the story. I worked with Stu for a few years at KABC. Doing sports talk and Dodger talk, and we were friends. We got into a major argument over Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. At the end of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's career, and we hope he definitely comes back from his hip injury, no question about that, but I thought he was done. I really thought he was done. And he was playing because his house had burned down and he needed the money. You know, I'm sure he had insurance, but he needed the money. And we got into a major argument about that. So, you know, doing a sports talk show, you never know what might spark friendship or spark something exactly the opposite. And we got back together again after that, Stu and I, but still it was a major problem. All right, Art Source, final question on Barron Sports Trivia. We all know that John Madden has done more color games, commentating games in the NFL than anybody else. Who's in second place, Art Source?
Network telecast, big games you're talking about?
NFL game, national NFL game. Who's in second place right now?
As a color analyst.
Color analyst behind John Madden, yes. John Madden's got 570. This guy's got 490 something.
I'm gonna take a flyer here because he's been doing the games a lot longer than people think. But I'm gonna go with Troy Aikman
from UCLA by way of Oklahoma,
and he's got his own new beer now too. I hear.
You think it's Troy Aikman, huh?
I actually do because I was thinking Tom Brookshire. I went back Al DeRogatis, Kirk Gowdy, and John Brody, and you know, I mean, I go back through all of them, but they didn't last the test of time. You know, if it was a play-by-play guy, I'd say Al Michaels. But, I mean, if it is the color guy, I got to go with Troy Aikman. He's been doing – he's in his 60s now, Fred.
All right. Cousin Andy Barron, is it Troy Aikman by way of UCLA?
It could be. I'm going to go with a guy who I just can't stand in Chris Collinsworth.
Oh, that's good. I think you
he's
might
on
be
all
right.
The time, and I don't like him.
Troy Aikman is correct. Your medicine is working. Yeah. I can hardly. I didn't think anybody.
I
would
like surprising the one and only Fred Wallen.
The reason I'm saying that is it doesn't seem like he's been doing it for 20 years, but he actually has.
Yeah.
And so when I heard that, I said that can't be right. And I looked it up.
Another thing that slid me in there was the fact that they do more games now.
Back with more on Sports Overnight America.
Hi, what brings you to the clinic today?
Oh, the baby's not feeling well. I think she might have a fever.
Ah, well, let's check her temp with the Exergen thermometer. You're right. These Exergen thermometers are very accurate. Reads 101.2.
Oh, gosh. Well, that Exergen thermometer sure is fast and easy to use.
Yes, and many doctors recommend Exergen for home use.
Exergen thermometers, backed by over 100 clinical studies, are available at Walmart and participating retailers. Learn more at Exergen.com.
Honey, come here, quick.
What is it?
Shh, check it out. All these highly rated wines are under $20. Total Wine must have made a mistake.
Nope, they always have the lowest prices. Oh, remember that amazing rosé your sister brought over last week? See, it's right here.
Whoa, that's a low price. I mean, whoa, that's a low price.
With the lowest prices for over 30 years, you'll always find what you love and love what you find. Only at Total Wine & More. Drink responsibly, B21.
Hey, I came as fast as I could. What's wrong?
Everything's okay. I just need you to know I'm glowing up.
You just texted SOS Get Here Now.
And I stand by that because I switched to Cricket and got the all-new Motorola Razr. I have entered my flip era, and I am glowing up.
I'm gonna go back home.
I support that.
Switch to Cricket and get the all-new Motorola Razr for $199.99. Smile, you're on Cricket.
Must open a new line on a $60 a month voice plan. First month service charge and tax to its sale. Fees, terms, and restrictions apply. See CricketWireless.com for details.
You can live out your MasterChef dreams when you find a professional on Angie to tackle your dream kitchen remodel. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Craving a guilt-free snack? Check out 100calsnacks.com for a treat that's 100% natural and free from added sugars. These surprisingly filling snacks are a tasty blend of low carbs, high protein, and fiber. And if the taste doesn't win you over, we'll give you your money back. Visit 100calsnacks.com. That's the number 100calsnacks.com. Indulge in a superfood-packed energy boost for just 100 calories. That's right, the tastiest and most nutritious guilt-free goodness is at 100calsnacks.com.
Hey, you.
The one on the couch you just told your friend you can't go out because you're busy? Ready to get real about your psoriasis? When your current treatments don't do enough to help control the inflammation beneath the skin, causing plaques and pain, stressing and scratching, it's time to stop hiding and get real with your dermatologist so they can help you get clear. Get real clear about psoriasis at letsgetrealclear.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Sports Overnight America. Please email us, sportsfred@aol.com. If you agree, fine. If you disagree, probably better. sportsfred@aol.com. Talking now to Matt Ward, an editor at Golf Today. We've had Matt on before. And Matt, welcome to the show.
Well, it's a pleasure to be with you guys.
Okay, I have to say this. January 6th, 3 years ago, was a dark day in American history. I believe June 6th, 2023, Jay Monahan signing with the LIV2 is a dark day in golf history. Your thoughts?
Well, we don't know the end to that story. All we know is that they agreed to stop firing missiles at one another. The litigation costs were getting to be exorbitant on the PGA Tour side. So all that happened on June 6th, well, I shouldn't say all that happened, but essentially they agreed to talk more. The problem that happened was Jay Monahan had made an all-out assault on Liv and on any player who was contemplating leaving. And then, unbeknownst to anybody but two other board members, unilaterally decided to go in a completely different direction. And when you're the commissioner of a sport, your position is based on the confidence that people have in your leadership. And when you take a unilateral action after having painted that Liv is basically the worst thing going since whenever, he put himself in a box. And that box is still to be played out yet. I mean, we don't know how this will turn out. But essentially what happened was, is that Jay Monahan, the commissioner, undercut his previous position. And your credibility as a commissioner is central to your ability to lead an organization. If
Matt,
you don't have
credibility,
then you can't lead.
He put players like Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy in a very difficult position as well, because they had backed up the tour by making statements based on their discussions with Commissioner Monahan that, you know, basically segmented golf. It caused the players all like each other. Would you agree with that, Matt?
Well, let me go back a step to what you said. I think that the PGA Tour was really late to the party in terms of making the changes that were necessary. If there was anything that was truthful that was said by Phil Mickelson, it's that Liv really provided leverage for the PGA Tour to really change the model that it offered. I mean, it was a long time in coming. I mean, you have to keep this in mind. What was said by Victor Hovland just a couple of days ago, when you have people in business suits making decisions for people who are the people who are playing, the people who play are the reason why you tune on the telecast. Nobody tunes in the telecast to see Jay Monahan. No one tunes in to see somebody who sits at a board table for the PGA Tour. But the model of professional golf needed to change. That doesn't mean it had to be changing to the way that Liv wants it to be. But the PGA Tour was late to the party in terms of changing internally how it offers and what it structures players. The guys who are at the very, very top, they have a different dynamic than the middle of the road journeyman player. But somehow you got to figure out a balancing act that allows the elite player to shine while still providing a pathway for the middle road player and the young and up and coming player to emerge on tour. The tour was late to the party in making really the switches that should have been made years ago. And now Liv basically forced their hand to take on a number of changes that should have been done quite some time ago.
And he made a lot of players a lot of money, the Liv group, by doing what they did. They opened up 48 more spots for all the tours by having the 48 guys go to Liv. They raised the purses based on their purses, so that the PGA Tour basically spent themselves into a situation where they didn't have the capital to be able to go down the road they were going. Now, 6 months into this so-called agreement, you're seeing where both sides want to get together, but that agreement date of January 1st, 2024, which was ridiculous in the first point, in my opinion, really causes a sticking point. So now you have the John Rahm situation come in, Matt, the number three player in the world. I mean, he wins four or five events a year. How does this affect the relationship between adversaries? We're talking Greg Norman and Tom and Monahan. Well, let me just say this to you.
I think if you went to right now, you go to FanDuel, mm-hmm. you could probably get a bet. What person will survive 2024? Is it Jay Monahan or Greg Norman? I can't see how both stay in the positions that they're at. But let me just say this to you, and going back a little bit, when mm-hmm. Tiger won the Masters in 2019, the light bulb should have went off in the head of the brass at the PGA Tour saying, look, we have Frank Sinatra here. He can't sing anymore. The days are over. We have to plan for the post-Tiger, post-Phil era. That's what commissioners are supposed to do. You know, Fred, you mentioned before about other sports and where they were being handled and managed. That's what commissioners are supposed to do. That's what people who are planning the game of what goes on in front of television, in front of the viewers. That's what their job is. I mean, to think that Tiger is going to continue to play at the highest of high levels. I mean, this guy has had more surgeries on himself. It's amazing that he's even back out playing at all. All right. So the bottom line to this is the brass at the PGA Tour, they allow time to go by. And eventually an adversary comes up and says, well, why can't we do professional golf? Why do we have to have everything go through the PGA Tour? So the players that you mentioned before, Artie, you're right. Guess what? They were in the seventh, eighth inning of their careers. I mean, how much golf does – I mean, nobody turns on the television set. With all due respect, losing John Rahm is not going to kill the whole ball game. Nobody wakes up in the morning and says, man, I got to go see John Rahm play. You did say that for Tiger Woods. But Tiger Woods is a transcendent figure. He doesn't even come once in a generation. This is a guy who will maybe – we may never see anybody like this. Who knows in how many years to come. The bottom line with professional golf is it's a niche sport. It's never going to challenge MLB, NFL, NBA, the Premier League, or any other of these leagues. And the bottom line of it is when Tiger won that Masters, the thought process should have been out even before then. How are we going to plan and do professional golf?
Matt, well, you have to explain to people that this has been going on for years. Greg Norman has come to the PGA Tour since probably, I want to say, the early 2000s. And so is Phil Mickelson, and say, can we sit down and figure out a way to make this thing work better for the players? And the PGA Tour hierarchy basically told them no.
Well, Artie, you have to say, well, Artie, you got to hold the phone right there, because what Greg Norman and Phil Mickelson wanted to do was take care of Phil Mickelson and Greg Norman first.
They How about Monahan? Does he take care of himself first?
They weren't worried about the middle of the road or the up-and-coming player. They were worried about making sure that they got their piece of the pie, because they had marquee value at that time. But the tour doesn't operate off of the marquee value of an individual player. The tour has to marquee what its brand is all about, okay? Now, what LIV has capital. LIV has unlimited capital to buy things, but they don't have a brand. The PGA Tour has a brand. And what the bottom line of it is, you have to be able to combine the brand and the capital. That's what these two issues are all really going to center about. And the bottom line to all of this, okay, at the end of the day, and Ernie Els touched upon this just recently in his own comments, in any sports league, if a commissioner had acted in a unilateral fashion the way Jay Monahan would have done, he would have been fired. He would have been gone, okay? Well, that didn't happen. But the bottom line is it may well happen as we go into 2024. Because the power players are not the players who are the commissioners. It's the other players. I mean, Yasser at LIV, he's the man I want to talk to. He doesn't come up for air. He's the submarine that sits underneath the water, but he's the person that pulls the strings for what LIV Golf is all about. At the end of the day, the tour still has a brand. That brand is still powerful because all the young and up-and-coming players want to play on the PGA Tour. If Ludwig had left for LIV, then I would have been concerned. But he did not leave. Victor Hovland did not leave. I mean, John Rahm leaving is a loss. There's no way to say otherwise. But at the end of the day, this situation has to get resolved because you can't have a fractured professional golf situation.
Matt, how important is it for the PGA Tour? Matt, how important is it for the PGA Tour to get the financing, whether it be through the Fenwick Group, whether it be through these other groups that are trying to get in?
I mean, at the end of the day, the PGA Tour essentially has to say to itself, look, here, I mean, they're going to do an estimated, what is the value of the PGA Tour before the invest? I mean, you don't think that these people, whether it's Cohen or Arthur Blank or any of these folks, are going to come in willy nilly and say, well, here's the value. Well, there was a value of the tour when Tiger was at his prime. That's not the same value as it is today, because Tiger and Phil aren't there at the end of the day. Those were the needles. I mean, Tiger, he had rating points. We all know what the rating points are. When this guy shows up, even when he was out of contention, they would show you Tiger where he was playing because they knew he would drive eyeballs. The value of the PGA Tour today is not at the same level that it was. But the investment groups that you just mentioned, Artie, are very important because going forward, the tour has to reconfigure what is it providing? What entertainment does it provide? At the end of the day, television networks, when television networks come forward, they're not really interested in pro golf. They want to know, for example, who is paying for this program? What kind of ratings are we getting from it? Otherwise, we might as well just put on Ultimate Fighting or something.
All right. Hold on for one second. We're talking to Matt Ward of Golf Today. You can email us at sportsfred@aol.com. Hey, Cousin Andy Barron, I have a question for you. The Saudis trying to control all sports. I don't know your political viewpoint on this, but Cousin Andy Barron, obviously in golf, they're very, very strong now. Other sports, certainly. Real sports showed what they're trying to do. Andy Barron, your comments to Matt Ward.
Yeah, it's an interesting time, right? Because while the Saudis are not necessarily directly involved in what's going on in world politics, they're like right in the same region, right? And who knows what's going to happen with that? Hopefully, I think we're all wishing that things de-escalate and we see peace again. But if things were to escalate in the Middle East, Saudi Arabia is right there, and who knows what would happen with that.
Matt Ward, your comments about
keep in mind, I mean, the Saudis don't have to worry about the economics of their investment. I mean, ultimately, here's what the bottom line is, Andy, and to Artie as well. The Saudis want a seat at the table. That's what they want at the end of the day. If LIV went away tomorrow and Yasser became part as chairman of the board of something enterprise at the PGA Tour, that's the home run. That's what they're looking to do. They want that seat at the table. They don't want to be looked upon as a renegade. And I have to tell you this. I mean, when Ernie Els came out with his statement a couple of days ago, he didn't ever question the source of the money. He just said, hey, you didn't involve the players before you had these discussions. So the players, for the most part, they're high-paid mercenaries. They go wherever the money is. It doesn't matter if it's Saudi money, if it happens to be Chinese money, if it happens to be anybody's money, just as long as there's money.
And they did take Chinese money too, which you remember in the Senate subcommittee.
Right. Yeah. I mean, so for the sports figures, I think it's fair to say right now, these guys go to the highest bidders. Wherever the highest bidders are, that's what they go to. Nobody is addressing sports washing. That's a topic that's being raised by media people, okay, for the most part, all right? Right. It's not being raised by the people inside who's actually playing the game. The Saudis want a seat at the table, okay? If you can get a seat at the table, that's how you start to control sports. I mean, who would have ever thought that the World Cup in soccer would be played in Qatar, okay? I mean, you have to be kidding me. And that they would have
Formula One too,
night
Matt.
Games.
Yeah.
Right.
But hey, Matt,
if you had said 30 years ago that, they would be laughing at you. They'd say, you got to be kidding me. We're never going to go to a place like that. It's amazing how many zeros, when you add on to one, can change the minds of people.
You're the best, Matt.
Ward, thank you. Thank you very much, Matt Ward. We'll do this again. And thank you for appearing on Sports Overnight America.
Guys, Happy New Year to everybody and all to you, all your listeners.
Thank you. One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003. How would you like to get high-speed internet for your home for less than $2 a day? That's right, for about $50 a month, you'll get lightning-fast internet. Are you paying less than $50 a month right now for your internet? Then call Whole Home Connect right now for blazing-fast internet at $50 a month with no price increases, no hidden fees, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees. It's a great deal. And guess what? You can try it for 15 days. If you don't like it, you get your money back. But you're going to love it. And you're going to love the price. Internet for your home for $50 a month. That's less than $2 a day. Plus, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees, and our 15-day guarantee. Call now. 800-617-5145. 800-617-5145. 800-617-5145. That's 800-617-5145.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Sports Overnight America. I'd like to thank Matt Ward of Golf Today for making an appearance. He's got strong opinions. And if you have an opinion, email us, sportsfred@aol.com, sportsfred@aol.com. You know, ever since Christian McCaffrey sat out for Stanford years ago and didn't play in the bowl game, a lot of guys have done it. Caleb Williams of USC did that this week in the Holiday Bowl. And a youngster who's waited like 3 years, he's a redshirt sophomore, Miller Moss, threw a mere 6 touchdown passes. Andy Barry, let me ask you a question. You're an NFL general manager. Could his 6 touchdown passes cost Caleb Williams some money as far as how they're looking at the quarterbacks around the world now?
I don't think so. At the end of the day, you know, they look at hand size, they look at test scores, they look at all kinds of things. It's not just, you know, one game. Certainly didn't have the season anyone thought he was going to have. But quarterbacks are king in the NFL. Somebody's going to take a flyer on him and give him an awful lot of money. May end up being my team. We'll see. But somebody's going to do that for sure.
No, but my point would be, hey, if a kid off the streets, basically, in Miller Moss control 6 touchdown passes, maybe it wasn't Caleb Williams scoring all these points.
Maybe it was the system, Lincoln Riley.
It was the system. Now, do you think, let me ask you, Art, do you think it's possible this could cost him for sitting out?
Not according to the Fox Sports broadcasters, because both Joel Klatt and Gus Johnson said he's going to be the number one pick in the draft. And I'm like, how do you say that when there's 4 really good quarterbacks and there's a lot of testing to be done? And, you know, I mean, let's be honest here, Fred. I would love to play in Lincoln Riley's system, but I'd also like to play for a team that played a little defense, because it wouldn't put you in a situation where you were, no matter what you were doing, you know, you were down by 20 points trying to bring the team back all the time. I mean, that had to be really frustrating for Caleb. To look up, you know, and he's having a great game and they're down by 17 and he's throwing for 4 touchdown passes. It's 55-45, 3 minutes left, and I got to throw 2 more touchdown passes. That does not sound like fun to me, guys.
You know what? I think it's a funny conversation to have too this week when you think about the NFL, and short of this past week, you know,
Flacco, baby.
But short of this past week, the quarterback who was probably playing better than in the league was the last pick in the draft, right?
Yeah, Brock Purdy. Exactly. And then you got Joe Flacco, who comes back with Cleveland, and he's the hero of Cleveland now, Fred. Yep. 4-1.
You might know, get, he's might throw, get ball
throwing
the
ball
round.
Like I've never seen him throw the ball. Go ahead,
did you guys get
to
Baltimore
sorry.
In the first round?
Oh, God. That'd be unbelievable.
You know, he actually started at Pittsburgh, and he couldn't start at Pittsburgh, so he went to Delaware.
Blue hen.
In Joe Flacco. All right. That's it for Sports Overnight America. For Mario, for President Andy Barron, for Art Source, I am Fred. And don't turn that dial. We'll be on later on Sports Overnight America.